Stay home. It's the same idea.
Oh, Lakewood. Oh, he's in Lakewood.
Oh, wow.
Lakewood.
Damn.
Okay, let's learn a couple of things. Okay, let's learn. I want to learn about the laws of eating food. A couple of interesting ideas. This, everything I'm telling you now, coming from a new hot off the press, new sefer called Oitza Machmadim. This is one of my favorite svarim. This is volume number 6. I think when we first started the shiur many years ago, Baruch Hashem. I think I remember. He's a Aaron Lechosid. That's all I know about him. From Eretz Yisrael. Sure. He's a Aaron Lechosid. His name is Gottlieb. Nosson Gottlieb. Gottlieb.
Yeah. The ones
are
white, so
yeah. And from Eretz Yisrael. And if you know all 6 volumes, you know Kol HaTorah Kula. Really, this is good. He knows how to, it's written so well, clear. Everything is so well sourced. It's just such a pleasure. And he put out 5 volumes, and I was scared. No, nothing more would come out because it's been a very long time since he put out the last volume. It's been a while. The other volumes came pretty quickly, and this number 6 just came out, and very, very. You know, a lot of the things he has, you're not going to find anywhere else. It's hard to find, and it's, you know, bite-sized pieces, easy to digest, very well sourced. It's always a pleasure to learn his farm. So this just came out right now, and he has some very whole section about food, eating, and being that this week is Parshas Ekev, where we learn about food. We have the Shiva Saminim in this week's Parsha. Eret Zeis She'ez Zeis Shem Vedvash Te'ena Rimun Gefen Es'ena. And we have the Birchas HaMozoin and the pasuk of Yechalta v'Savatus. Let's discuss a few things that he mentions over here. First thing he mentions over here, I never heard of this thing before. It's a very interesting idea. It's a Zoyar. Isa b'Zoyar HaKodesh. Basically, the Zoyar says, not going to these hard words, hard for me to read and translate, is that a person, every day before he eats, should be mispalel for parnasa. In other words, we have an idea in our minds that you daven for what you don't have. I have food today. So that's it, I'm okay. If I'm gonna daven, I'm gonna daven for tomorrow, for next week, for next year. Person's always davening for what he does not have, what he's worried about.
It's a request as opposed to a thank.
Well, correct, right. You thank you for what you do have, okay. But you could look at it like that way. The Zohar is something very interesting, which I think we're not really familiar with. I'll read you the words of here. He quotes over here, Rabbi Yaisi Saba. He quotes a person by the name of Yaisa. Rabbi Yaisa, this is in Parashas Miketz. The Zohar in Parashas Miketz. Rabbi Yaisi Saba. Afal gav da havelei michla. Even though he had food. There's food on the table. You come into the dining room, there's food on the table. Michla duhu yoyma, lemechal. Loy have misakin lay, he would not put the food down on the table, he would not sit down to eat. Ad the shoil, he would be mivakesh from Hashem. Hashem, please give me food. What do you mean? The food's here. If you want to pray for food, it means Hashem, thank you. And you say birchas hamozon, you say thank you. You make a birchas hanenin. But to ask Hashem, please give me food, when the food's right in front of you, it's a little bit strange. No, isn't that a little bit strange? You ask for what you don't have. So for tomorrow, I didn't go to the grocery store for tomorrow. The food's not going to be fresh if I go today for tomorrow. I don't have. So you mispalel for the future. You thank Hashem. No, that's not what it says. He says, Afal gav, the havelei mechla dehu yom, he had food for today. Lo have misakin lei, he would not prepare the food. Ad the shoyl mizoine kamei malko kadisha. Until he would be mivakish, he would pray to Hashem, Hashem, please give me food. Oh, excuse me, here it is. Hashem gave you the food. What's going on?
Permission?
What?
It's not a permission that he said, I would like to eat it, but I have to get permission.
I that's what I thought, but it's a little, I know, the words are a little bit difficult. Yeah. It would seem like, that's really Birchas Hanenin. Isn't that where you make a bracha? We make 2 brachas. Every time we sit down to eat, we make a birchas hamoitzi or birchas mezoines. That is a thank you for the food. It's permission to eat the food. Chazal say that hashamayim shemayim la Hashem, also la adam lehonois, it's not our food. You cannot eat the food until you make a bracha. Making the bracha is the matir to eat the food. So that's the bracha. What more do you have to do? We have a birchas hanenin.
It's a theory of sukkum. One
pasuk
says,
"Hashemayim shemayim la'Hashem yaris." And the other pasuk says, "It's also lehonos milam azeh b'loy bracha." It's a chazal. How do you answer the stira? Kan koydim abracha, kan liyachar abracha. Until you eat, the food is hegdish. It's gezel. It's gezel. Don't eat the food until it's not your food. When you make the bracha, that's the matir. That makes it your food. It's mutter to eat the food. Okay, so that's the matir. And we have a birchas hamozoin to thank Hashem. What's this all about? This is something new, which we're not familiar with. None of us do this. You never heard anyone do this. This is what it says in the Zoya. Now, it's a little strange. So he quotes here from Chaim Vital. Okay, Rav Chaim Vital is basically the author of the Zohar. Rav Chaim Vital was the number one student of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari did not...
The author of the
Zohar. What?
The author of the Ari.
The Ari did not write anything. The Ari...
Yeah, no, but why did you say the author of the Zohar?
Because he wrote it. Well, the Zohar... The Zohar, okay, so the Zohar, I'm sorry, not the Zohar, he brought it to life. The Rav Chaim Vital brought the Zohar to life. Okay, I don't know what I'm saying, but basically we have the Zohar was in Geniz, and no one even knew there was a Zohar until much more recent. Then it was studied by the Ramchal, not the Ramchal, by Rav Moshe
Cordova.
He had a mahalik, he brought forth the Zohar, and Rav Chaim was a student by him. But then he passed away, and then he studied by the Ari HaKadosh, and the Ari had a very different approach to studying the Zohar. And in fact, the legend is that Rav Moshe Cordova came to Rav Chaim Vital in a dream, and they had a conversation, and Rav Chaim Vital asked Rav Moshe Cordova, in Shemayim, which approach, which mahalich do they study Zohar? So he told them they study the way of the Ari, not my way. And I myself in Shemayim have to relearn the Zohar according to the thought process of the Ari HaKadosh. As if I understand what I'm saying over here, right? I know the difference between the Ari's mahalich and Rav Moshe Cordova's mahalich. And Rav Chaim Cordovero. Whatever the point is there, Rav Chaim Vital is the one who really put in writing. He was the student, the prime student of the Ari. The Ari died very young. He was a very young person when he died. He never wrote anything. And Rav Chaim Vital was his prime student. And he's the one that was mefarsem, the Torah of the Arizal. So Rav Chaim Vital, everything really comes from Rav Chaim Vital in the world of Kabbalah. One thing I'd like to talk about, Rav Chaim Vital died. He died the same time when America was born, 1620. He died, I think, in 1620. The voyage of
1619.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Why is it a terrible thing to say?
You're thinking of the 1619 project.
Yeah.
The
slavery.
Not when America was born.
That's a new Mishigas. That's a new Mishigas. When they went to discover America. The Mayflower, the voyage of the Mayflower. The voyage of the Mayflower was when America was basically, okay, Thanksgiving. Okay, that's my Thanksgiving speech. Thanksgiving speech.
Of 1492.
That's when they discovered America. But when did America begin to form the pilgrims? When did the settlement begin to take root? The earliest taking root of America as a government, as a yishuv, they discovered America in 1492, but they didn't. It was just no man's land.
I just read that the woke, they talk about slavery. The Duke of York was a slave trader, so we have to change New York City, New York State, into a new name.
Soon they're gonna have to change the Yankees. They're gonna have to change the name of the team. You know why?
George Floyd Bridge instead of
Yankees. Yeah, everything is crazy today.
By the way, on the junction, they put up a statue of
George Floyd.
George,
yeah.
Him they put up a statue. George Washington they have to take down, but him they put up a statue. It's unreal what's going on in this country. It's frightening. Really, really frightening. Any event, Rav Chaim Vital says, okay, let's look. Rav Chaim Vital says, that based upon this Zohar, what is the proper tefillah? All it says in the Zohar is Rabbi Yossi Saba would be mispalel to be shoil. The words are the shoil mizoni, would make a request for bread before the Malka Kadisha, before Hashem. If we want to follow in the ways of Rabbi Yossi Saba, what should we say? A new tefillah? So Rav Chaim Vital says the correct thing to do is that before you wash, you should recite the mizmor that we say in Sholosh Sudos, is mizmor Hashem Roi Loi Echsar. Benois Deshe Yarbitzeni Mizmor Chof Gimel in Tehillim. That is the proper thing to do. We say this on Shabbos. Shabbos say three times. Mizmor L'David, Hashem, you are my shepherd. Loi Echsar, I lack nothing. This Mizmor in Tehillim, Mizmor Chof Gimel, is the appropriate Mizmor which captures what Rabbi Yossi Saba was trying to do, to be mispalel for food, even though he had food in front of him. And in fact, Rav Chaim Vital says, now we don't do this, Rav Chaim Vital says that is the proper nusach. Now this has taken root in the Mogen Avram and in the Shloha Kodesh. The Shloha, none of us ever heard this. I never heard this before. You ever heard this before? That before you, on a regular day when you sit down for lunch, you go to a pizza store, oh, we're not pizza, we're going to wash. Oh, before we eat the pizza, we're going to say, Hashem Rohi Loi Echsar. Bin Oistesha Yarbitseni Almei Menuchas Yemehaleni. We're going to say Mizmor Chof Gimel. I never heard of this before, but it seems that it's in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham gives legitimacy and he says, Itaka, you should do this. The Shloha HaKadosh, he says, not only this is how far it goes, it's shocking how far it goes, how far this halacha goes. It's so significant. What happens if you wash? I washed al netilas yodayim. And then I remember, wait a minute, I forgot to say mizmor ledavid Hashem roi lo yechsa bin esteshi yarbitzeni almei menuchas yenahaleni. I forgot to say the mizmor.
Is it a
hafsaka? The Shloha says it's not a hafsaka. It's not a hafsaka. It's litzarech achila. You can say mizmor ledavid in between the brach of al netilas yodayim and the birchas hamatzi ad kedei kach. Nearly, I'll read you the words of the Shloha. Im shach v'lo yispalel ad shenot al yadav yochol lehispalel oisa bein hanetila lehamotzi v'loy havei hefsek. You shouldn't do this on a regular basis, but it's not considered a hefsek. The Magen Avraham. Yes, lechatchila, you should say it before netilas yodayim. No one does this. I'm not telling you. I'm just trying to bring out some interesting ideas. The Magen Avraham, Shulchan Aruch. Yes. Yes.
By Shalosh Shulis, especially, I saw a Rebbe in front of me by Shalosh Shulis.
Yeah.
He always bezmored David before he went to wash.
Before. So your Rebbe, yeah. Zisalts, yes. He said, see, he actually did this, Shalosh Shulis, before he washed. Okay, I never saw that either. I never saw this during the week. During the weekday, I never saw this.
I didn't see me during the week. I'm sorry, but
Shalosh Shulis is very common. You go to a good Shalosh Shulis in shul, so they say Mizmor L'David three times.
No, it wasn't No.
Your Rebbe himself. Just your Rebbe himself. He did it before he washed. The Iker Zman to do this to be Mekayim Rabbi Zisalts. He was the Rebbe over here in Kensington on 18th Avenue. 18th Avenue, Didmus, between on East 9th Street, 8th Street, 8th and 9th Street,
yes.
on Didmus, right around Tar Vidas. He was very close. He was very close with him. Baruch Horowitz was a Talmud Muvok of Harav Zisalts. What's his first name of Zisalts?
Shimon
Zisalts. He's very close, a very holy person. Adam. He doesn't need my hakdama.
He died Corona.
He died from Corona in the very beginning. In the very beginning of Corona, he was nifter, and he did a lot of these very interesting things, and that's what it says. Now, the Magen Avraham, I'm not making this up. This is Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes the Shloha, and he says, "Don't do it though." He says that don't do it between. He says. I'm sorry. He says you can do it. I'm sorry. Anyway, he says he takapaskins mutter lahafsik Ben hanetila lebircha samaytzi ulespalo. Magen Avram. The Magen Avram says that if you forgot to say Mizmal Dov, you can say it in between the Netila and the Hamaytzi. And Shulchan Aruch Rav says that you can do this. You can do it as well. The Mishnah Berura. Okay, the Mishnah Berura. Okay, so Ulmam Shulchan Aruch. He says that you should not do this. He goes against the Taz. The Mishnah Berura says that if a person who has such a custom to say Mizmor LeDavid before the ideal time to say Mizmor LeDavid on a regular basis is before you wash, to show you to be, it's another form of tefillah. Okay, you have to delve into the depth of what this means. It's not enough just to make a bracha, birchas hanenim, and to make a birchas hamotzi, to thank Hashem. You have to be mispalel. You have to appreciate the difference, the very big difference. You see, a birchas hanenim is to thank Hashem for the food. And then there's birchas hamazon, is to thank Hashem for eating the food. Mizmor LeDavid is a bakash, is a request that Hashem, please give me food. Now, even though you have the food in front of you, I guess that you go, I'm assuming the idea is that you go through the motions. Even though the food is in front of you, you still should acknowledge that the food that you have in front of you only comes through a request, a tefillah. Nothing comes into this world unless you are mispal. It goes back to Maisa Bereishis. What have my Maisa Bereishis? It says in the Pasuk, the aid yale min ha'aretz. And the Pasuk there goes on to say that when Hashem created the world, there was no vegetation. Even though it says, toitziar it's deshe, Rashi says, the vegetation only came to the surface. Only came, when Hashem gave a command, there should be vegetation, should be everything should be there. It just came to the surface of the soil. It did not come forth. Why not? The Odom Ayin la'avoides ho'adamah. Man did not yet exist. That until man came along and made a request to be mispalel, please Hashem, give me food, the produce did not come above the surface. So in essence, when you are mekayim this zoyah of being mispalel for food before you wash, you are reenacting what it says in the pasuk, the odom ayin la'avoid esu avoda. Food does not come to your table until you request it. After you request it, there's a double bracha of thank you. There's a thank you before you eat and a thank you after you eat. But there's also an inyan, that's not a requirement, it's only obviously none of us ever does this, but there is such an inyan that even before you eat, to reenact what it says in the Torah, of Adam ayin la'avoid esu adamah. The grain did not come above the surface of the earth until Adam asked Hashem, please, I'm hungry, give me what to eat. Okay, now, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person forgot to say, who has such a custom, to say, Hashem rohi lo yechzar, and he already washed netilas yodayim, and then he remembers he did not say it, he should not be mafsik. He should instead say it after he eats, after the hamaytzi. The Mishnah Berurah is not so generous to follow, to accept the halacha of the Maisa. We don't do this. The Shaloh HaKadosh and the Magen Avram. He says, no. Sheyoyser nochon lehispalel achar birchas hamaytzi. If you forget to say it before, don't be mavzik between the netila and the birchas hamaytzi. Okay, now.
Which is more the way we practice now.
Right. We don't do it all together, unfortunately. I don't see anyone doing this. You see anyone doing this all together?
No, not to interrupt between.
Between the netila, for sure not. But do you see people saying Mizmor LeDavid during the week before they wash? I never saw this. You see this. The only time I ever see this.
One of the things, miyad, right? Miyad.
Then the take of the netila, then the hamotzia should be right away. Correct. Now, this is definitely, here's the dilemma the place can deal with. Is this to be done even at night or only by day? This custom of being mispalel, is it, how often is it done? So, Pash doesn't make a difference. Some say it doesn't make a difference if you have a morning suda, night suda. Others say, he cites over here from the Baal Shoymer Munim in the Sefer Shulchan HaTohar, it's a very popular Sefer. Only by day, not by night. You don't have to go. You don't have to go so far. Now, here's something very interesting.
Yeah, night, he means the evening
meal. And by the way, I never knew this, that Parnassah has the same gematria as Neshama. That's just an interesting point. I never knew that. The same gematria as Neshama. Parnassah with a hey. Parnassah with a hey has the gematria of Neshama. Whatever that means. Now, here's something very interesting. What we're doing over here is that we say every day in the Birchas Hamazon, and we discuss this, V'lo'li day matnas bosar v'dam. When we bench, we are misfalo in the bracha of Vnei Yerushalayim, that Hashem may give us parnasa, and we should not suffer humiliation. V'lo ni kolem, v'lo ni koshov, v'lo ni kolem, li'olam v'ed. And we are misfalel, v'lo lidei matenas bosor v'dam. What does that mean? That we should not come on to the gift of a bosor v'dam. So I'm assuming on a very simple level it means that we should have parnasa, that we should be able to earn our own keeper. We always say this, if you go to a cemetery and you see a matseva, and on the Matzev it says the words Nene Miyigias Kapov, stop right there and be mispalel. A person that was zoiche to live a life and earn his own parnasa and not have to come on to hand, on, from handouts from his parents, his in-laws, someone else should have to work to support him. What a bizoyen. What a bizoyen that a person should have to go take from someone else. It really is. It's just a horrible thing. It's a curse in this world. We live in a society where everyone basically, one way or another, is getting handouts. Even the government. What? It's a curse. Even the government. A government gives a social security check. Is that an ideal thing to get a social security? Is it an ideal thing?
It's your money.
Is it?
Yes,
nothing is ours.
Money.
Yeah, I know, you can't live. That's the way the society is set up. You pay taxes. The truth is, every single person is being nene from the government, I feel, more than they give. Every person, the government gives you security, there's their lights in the street, their roads are paid.
They subsidize the MTA, so when you go on the bus, you take
them. What?
They subsidize the MTA.
Just walking down the street, the fact that the streets are paved, the fact that the air is healthy to breathe, the fact that the water is pure and clean, the fact that they're giving out free vaccines to the whole country. You know, the security, there's a military. The government provides to the average citizen enormous, enormous benefit. Can every single person say that what they pay in taxes, they've done their part to pay for the benefits that we receive in society? Really? Every person can really make that calculation and say that what they have given society pays for their keeping society? I don't know. And even if it is true, even if what you are giving does pay for your chelek, still, a human being doesn't like to take. You like to give, to be a giver. Whatever it is. That's the way life is, unfortunately. Of course. I'm not saying that.
Nobody can live on their own.
Of course. I'm not denying, of course. But unfortunately, there's an attitude in society, this is undeniable, of entitlement.
Well, that's a different thing.
Right, so it seeps into every one of us. It seeps into our blood. There's entitlement. Okay, that's life. That's the way it is. But there is an ideal, which is an impossible ideal, is to give and not take. So what does it mean over here? V'lo'li day matnas bosom. So you'll tell me, that's what it means. It means an ideal. An ideal, v'lo'li day matnas bedam. Every single person is taking something in this world. That's how the world is. Every person, one way or another, when you're living in this world, you are taking a matana, a gift from a bosar v'dam. So what does it mean then when we are misfal on the Birchas Hamazon, the lowly day, manas basar v'dam? You want to be from the, I don't know what the percentages are. I cannot imagine that it's more than 10% of this world, of this, let's say in America. I don't know the real numbers, I'm making belief. But it's hard for me to imagine that 10% of more than 90% of the population is giving more than what they're taking.
Rabbi, every morning people are coming and holding their hands out during the davening.
Okay, but that, unfortunately, but let's talk about the people that are not. We don't want to be, a person does not want to, Rachmana Litzlan, be from those people. The lowly day, Madnaspa, was Basar V'dam. But what about the people that are giving? they're also taking from Matnas Basavada. No? How many people are giving a God grew up, their parents supported them? A parent is only mechuyif this point until you're 6 years old. After 6 years old, according to the letter of the law, you're on your own. Parent only, everything, Chazal said, everything that you give a child after 6 years old is tzedakah. You can deduct as tzedakah. You're only mechuyif, you bring a child into this world, you got to pay for it. You have an obligation to support a child. Otherwise, you don't have children. Who told you to have children? You're not going to support them. Well, you're going to have a child and put it in front of the fire department? What kind of, that's not a responsible way to live. Okay, that's not a way to live. You don't care if you have a baby. Okay, I'll get married, have a baby, and what do you do? Who's going to pay for the baby? That's not a way to live. You have to, if you want to have a baby, you have to support the baby. For how long? Until he's 6 years old. And then you can bring him to the fire department and say, don't you want to be a fireman? Now's your chance, because I'm not supporting you past 6 years old. Every penny you give a child after 6 years old is tzedakah. So you're going to go tell me the people in shul, and they're giving dollar bills, giving money to, unfortunately, Rahman al-Sam, the poor people. You're going to say they were not beneficiaries of Matnas Basar V'dam. They also are beneficiaries of Matnas Basar V'dam. People who make good salaries. Can everyone who makes a nice salary really say that the benefits that society is providing for them is they've paid for it? They haven't received any benefit? How much would it cost you private security? Okay, they just had one, they had the news, one of the people, the BLM leaders who advocates to defund the police. She paid herself this year $600,000 in private security. Okay? Defund the police for everyone else. You yourself paid $600,000 private security. It's a joke, right? How much money does it cost for security for the country? Everyone is contributing their share. How much does it cost to manufacture the vaccines? Everyone in the society paid their share. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we live in a Medina Shel Chesed. Okay, they how do all these things work? Well, they are super rich, and the government steals all their money. The government steals their money and gives it to the poor people that need it. Is that the right thing to do? Don't ask me. I don't know what's right and what's wrong, but there's something called Lolei Manas Basar V'dam. So what is that, what it means? Yes, it means something. That's it. But it's hard to digest. That's the pashup shot, because that's how the world, Chazal would not make a nusach in the benching that is something that is too idealistic. We don't live in a world that's perfect. We don't even try to be a perfect world. It has to be something that's more posh, that's more relevant to the common man. So he says something that is very interesting. Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef, who wrote this, I don't know. He says, no, Meharan, is this maybe this Breslov? Shamati min Moharan. So I think from Breslov. The Rebbe Rav Nachman mi Breslov. He says Shamati, which doesn't mean that, it doesn't seem like it's in print. And he says something very posh. He says, you work for people, and this is a very powerful idea. When you work for people, you get a job. You get an employer. So there are different types of employers. There's some employers that are mamish koifer. They're wicked people. They're really wicked people. And they really believe koichi v'oitzem yodi osli achayel hazeh. And when they give you your paycheck every month, every 2 weeks, or whatever they give you the paycheck, they really believe they're God. They believe, you know, God, you know, whether they believe in God, they don't believe in God, he's not part of the equation. I work very hard. I have a very successful business. And I'm paying you your salary. And you work for me, I'm going to be good to you. You work hard, I'm going to pay you your salary. I'll give you a bonus also. I'll give you a day off. I'm not a religious person. I don't go to synagogue. I don't go to church. I don't go to the mosque. I don't go into these places. I don't go. I work hard. I'm not like all these lazy people down in the country that take entitlements. I work hard. I have a business. I'm successful. I have employees. I got 50 employees. I pay my employees very well. I pay them more than the going rate because I'm a good person. I give them money. That's one type. Let's say I'm an employee of that person. Okay, I get a check every month in the mail. Very good. That's not a good job. The Birchas HaMazon is telling you, you know, you're working for the wrong person. There's another guy down the block. He doesn't pay the going rate. He pays below the going rate. His business is struggling. His business is not doing so good. Every month he really wonders if he can make payroll. Sometimes he pays late. He doesn't give bonuses because he can't afford to give bonuses. But that guy down the block in the competing business, he's a Yorei Shamayim. He goes to shul 3 times a day, he comes early, and when he pays you the check and you say thank you, he says, don't tell me thank you. I'm just a shaliach. We got a business here, trying to make a parnasa. I work very hard. We all work very hard. No, we're not so successful like the guy down the block. We make a parnasa. Everything comes from Hashem. The parnasa comes from Hashem. Money comes in. You work. I owe you money. I'm sorry if I can't pay you on time. I do the best that I can. I'm honest. I'll pay you whatever you need. You'll get whatever you deserve. And I promise you. Whatever I promise you, you'll get. I can't pay you, you know, double salary like the guy down the block. I can't give you a bonus. I don't have what to give you. But here, I promise you'll work. Here it is. Here's your paycheck. I'm honest. And don't thank me. You worked. You worked. It's your hard work. The money, Hashem provides parnasa. That's what it means. The lo lidei matnas basar v'dam. Ribbono shel olam, I'm espalel to you, my employer, should not be a person who thinks that he's God. And when he gives me the check, it's a gift from a basar v'dam. Even if it's double the salary and bonuses paid on time, direct deposit, no problems. I rather work for a person who considers it's a matter of frame of mind, who considers the money that he pays me to be, it's Hashem's money. I am just a shaliach. The person that's giving me the check, when I say to him, thank you, he says back to me, you don't have to thank me. You worked, you deserve. Hashem provides parnasa. I'm just a shaliach. It's an attitude. If your employer has an attitude that he is just an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when you get the check, he says, this is not my money that's coming from a basar v'dam. I'm a shaliach. The money, the check is coming from Hashem's bank. That's parnasa. That's a blessing. Better such an employer than to work for someone who says, God, what? As far as I'm concerned, I voted on the referendum that we should remove from the dollar bill In God We Trust. You work, you make money. You don't work, you starve. That's the way it goes. I work hard, I have a business, it's my money. You work for me, I'm a good guy. I'm a boss of a dad who's honest, ethical, good. I'll pay you double what they're paying across the street. No thank you. When the money comes from a person that's such an attitude as boss of Adam, and there is, that's where it starts and stops, you're looking for trouble. Down the line, eventually, you're not going to see a simen bracha from such parnasa. When the parnasa comes with an attitude that it's not bidei boss of Adam, but it comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is where you'll ultimately find a simen bracha. I know this is a very hard pill to swallow. And when a person has a choice of getting 2 jobs, and one job they pay half the other, and one job the person who's the employer is in the big time apikores, and the other one is a tzaddik, but he's paying half the wages. I'm not talking about ganovim. I'm not talking about from people who are ganovim. That's not part of the equation. Okay? Someone who's a ganov. We're talking about an honest employer. An honest employer who's erlich, but he doesn't pay so well. He doesn't because he doesn't have what to give. And then you can get this same exact job from a person who is paying you very, very well, but is an outright open apikores, person who has embraced woke society. You know, so it's a very big nisayon. I don't think I would pass the nisayon. I would just go where the money is. But it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong, and that's what it means over here when you're mispalim birchas hamazon every single day is you're going to get the money from someone. If you get a job, you're going to get the job. When you get the job, did it come with an attitude of my employer is a boss of Adam, or is it coming with an attitude from the check that's coming from my employer his attitude is I'm just an agent. I'm just a shliach. I'm just a conduit for you to get your check through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not a Basar V'dam. That makes all the difference. Okay, next. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Eating, now this is a scary halacha, which I never had clarity. He says here things that I always wondered and I'm very distraught. You're not allowed to eat until you feed your pets. Anyone have pets here? Anyone have a dog? Cat? Fish? So the halacha is it's a halacha, and the halacha is, you're not allowed to eat yourself until you first feed solid foods into your animals. Shulchan Aruch says, Shemberach HaMaitzi, the Nizkar. Now look at this, Ad Kedei Kach. Let's say you already washed, and you made the HaMaitzi, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, HaMaitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. I have the bread in my hand. I want to put it into my mouth. Hefsek, right? Hefsek. You're not allowed to talk. I made the bracha. I got to put it in my mouth. Wait a minute. I didn't feed the fish. The fish in the fish tank. I didn't feed the hamster. I didn't feed the dog, the cat, the kangaroo. He must have a lion probably in his house. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a lion somewhere roaming around in his backyard. The niska. Sha'adayim o'inosa anosa machal lebehemtoi. Mutter lahafsik, ben habrocha l'te'ima, you're allowed.
It's called nesas. It's
like you're allowed to be mafsik. Don't eat. Don't put the bread in your mouth, even though you already finished the bracha. Go first, feed the fish. Even fish, I'll show you. Even fish.
Why can't you take a bite while you're walking to the fish?
If it's not going to make a difference, Tom, I would assume you probably are. That's what you should do. If it's not going to make a difference, you're not. Right. But let's say, for argument's sake, time is of the essence, whatever the case is. No, the ikar is the halacha. It's a halacha. You're not allowed to eat until you first feed your pets, and it's not considered a hefsek. This is Shulchan Aruch. Ad kidei kach. Ad kidei kach.
Wait a second. Wow. The Shulchan Aruch mentions pets.
Yes,
behemtoy. Or just say your animals. Fish.
It says lebehemtoy. All it says is lebehemtoy, an animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
People did not have pets. They raised animals either for food or to work. They were involved. They were critical to their parnasa.
The yavits. You're right.
They didn't have them as. People couldn't afford to have companions like dogs or cats. So I don't see how that was the intent of the halacha.
I agree with you 100%. You're preaching to the choir. And that's why this is so disturbing. Because he goes and he cites, he has this whole discussion. He writes over here, look at this. The Av Shaloi, I'm reading away from the Sefer. Shaloi Mufurish Bechazal Din Zerach L'Game Behema. Which you can interpret, I'm going to the biggest extreme now, a behemoth, which means, let's say you have animals that you need to work with. You need an axe to plow. You need a horse to travel.
They were
vital. Animals that are vital to your existence. Af shaloyim, I'm reading what he says in this modern sefer, shaloyim atzim mefurish bechazal din zerak l'gab behemoth, v'loy bedogim, fish. What's fish for? You need fish for your. You don't need fish for anything. An aquarium? You have a fish tank? You don't need fish for nothing. Mikol makayim, b'sheilois.
Unless you're raising them for.
Well, you're not raising them for nothing. B'sheilois u'teshuvois yaivets. Rav Yaakov Emden. No? Isn't that Rav Yaivets? Kosav Kosav mefurosh shegam bedogim shayuch din ze. Shari ikar hatam. What's the time? Is it because you need it? The time is mishum tsar balei. That's what the Ayvet says. You can argue. Tsar balei chayim. Shocking. I know. I'm not here. I want to tell you things to get you excited. That's what
I'm here for. Obviously.
Tsar balei chayim sheloi lahadav abehemus v'ze shaych b'chol min bal chay shemizoynoi olav. Let's clarify something very important. It goes without saying here that we're dealing with animals that it's not their feeding, that it's way past their feeding time. Okay, fish don't need to eat every second. Okay, you'll feed fish. Listen, I'm hungry. Time for you, fish. You already had your dinner. You don't have to feed the fish. You don't have to feed the dog every 5 minutes. You don't have to feed the cat every 5 minutes. We're dealing with a situation where the dog, the cat, the fish are long, long overdue for their meal. No suffix now. I've starved them. Okay? I'm not talking about, well, you know, obviously a lot of the heter in the bezman hazeh is because the dog ate already. He already ate three times today. Leave me alone. How often do I have to go feed the dog? We're discussing a case. You went on vacation. You came back. Oops. Forgot to feed the fish in 3 days. I'm surprised the fish are still alive after 3 days. Look at that. They didn't eat for 3 days. How in the world did they survive for 3 days? It's a big wonder. It is certainly way past the feeding time of the fish. Way past your cat. You go away. I didn't feed the cat. The cat's going out of its mind. It's acting out. The dog is going mashuk. It's barking like crazy because the dog is starving to death. That's the case we're discussing. We're not discussing the case of a cat that's fat. A fat cat that go into the garbage and they already ate all the food already 20 times. So in those situations, even though these pets, they're recreational. They're not. He says over here that it's a din tsar bali chayim, and there's no exception. Now here's the instance. The Rambam does not bring down this halacha. Does not cite at all. Now, by the way, where does this halacha come through? This week's parsha. The parsha says in Kriya Shema. It says v'nasati mitar artzechem bi. Then it says in the pasuk in the Kriya Shema, live hem techa. I will give Esav besadicha live hem techa, and then v'yachalta v'savata. The big dilemma he shows here, if it goes all the rishonim, is this a din de'oraisa? Is this a din de'rabanan? Or is this nothing more than a midas chasidus? Not even on a level of a drabbanan. The Rambam does not even mention this at all. The Rambam clearly holds that this is not a deraisa, this is not a drabbanan. We want to be medayik. The person want to be medayik. Vilu miloshen the Rambam, mashma. Wait, the Marame Rambam. Let me go through the sheet this over here before I get confused over here. The Shvus Yaakov. Okay, that was of Yaakov Mereisha. From Mereisha. He says that this is nasmachta bialma. This is not this drasha that is cited is not a deraisa. It's a drabon, just the posse that puts first live hem techa, and then it says viachalta. It's an asmachta. It's not an iser deraisa. Okay, it's not an iser deraisa. The Marami Randberg. Okay, the Marami Ramberg says, unbelievable, everyone knows the Marami Ramberg. He was, you know, the Tisha B'Av just passed. The one who wrote the Kina Sha'ali Tzruv Beish, he was from the Gedolei HaRishonim. He was from the later Rishonim, and the Marami Ramberg, he wrote 1,000 Teshuvahs. He was an extremely influential person in Klal Yisrael, and he says that it's an Isur De'oraisa. Mamish, on a very high level, if your dog has not eaten in 2 days, okay, it's way, way past the feeding time for the dog, and you're sitting down, it's the oraisa, you must feed your dog first. The Rambam writes explicitly, he writes, Midas is a quote from the Rambam, Midas Chasidus, V'darkei Chochma, Sheyiye Odom Rachamon, merciful, the Roidev Tzedek, Velo Yachbid Uloi Al Avdoi, you should not be overwhelming upon your servants. The achilehu, you should give them to eat. The ashkeyu, mikol machul, mikol mishta. Whatever you eat from, you shall give to your slaves, even an Evet Kenani. Okay, when they talk about slavery and BLM, we just had a shiur on this. Headlines. The Rambam, if you have an Evet Kenani, the obligations you have to treat him well are awesome. What do you have to do for Evet Kenani? Chacham arishayim how you nice them leevim mikol machl tavshol tavshol yoichlim, and look at this. Umakdimin mazoin habehemois. They would first feed the animals, v'ho avodim and the slaves l'su'udas atzman. That's the only place where the Rambam mentions this halacha. He does not even mention it, period, as a halacha. Not a deraisa, not even midrabanan. He mentions this derech agav. That if a person has in his possession a slave, not an Eved Ivri, a non-Jewish slave, it is the need of chassidus, and it is derech chochma, darkei chochma, to be good to your slaves. Whatever you eat, he has to eat. If you eat steak, he eats steak. If you drink wine, $300 bottle of wine, the Eved Kenani has to also drink the same wine. And it's the midas chassidus to give them to eat. Levit Kenani, can you imagine? To give them to eat before you eat. How come no one quoted this Rambam in this whole BLM matter? You never hear anyone talk about this Rambam. But Judaism has to say about slavery. And it's midas chassidus to give your slaves to eat before you eat, and your animals also. The Rambam, he throws this in derech agav. That's the only place where the Rambam mentions this. The Rambam clearly holds that it's not a deraisa. It's not an asmachta, it's not a drabonon.
But it's an open pasuk.
The Chazal said this, v'chalta v'savata, and the Rambam clearly tells them when the Gemara discusses this, that the drabonon found this pasuk as an indication of a midas chassidus. That's not on the level of a drabonon. That's not the level of the rice. And l'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is exactly that we discussed before. If a person says, we don't pass like the Rambam in this case. What happens if a person makes what do you do for it? Now, I forgot to feed the fish. The fish have not eaten in 3 days. They're very hungry, the fish. And I said, are you allowed to be mafsik, first feed the fish, and then come back and put the bread in your mouth?
He's been doing this 3 days.
What?
He should have been feeding the fish the last.
Okay, but he made a mistake. He made a mistake. He made a mistake. Now he realized. Now when he eats, he realizes. So now, what is the Rambam? So now, if you hold it, it's a deraisa. So then that's not. Then the halacha is like the Rambam. Remember, the Rambam says deraisa. Don't put the bread in your mouth.
But that's how it's tzar bali yodom. I mean, the person doesn't have.
You are bar seichel. Yeah, you do have tzar, but you should. There's no excuse for this. You should. No, you should have fed the animal. If you take the animals in your possession, they're under your responsibility. That's exactly the point. The animals can't fend for themselves. By acquiring these animals, that comes with a responsibility. Responsibility means that their tsar comes before you. That's exactly the whole point of tsar bali chaim. You see, it's not a matter of my tsar versus their tsar. It's if I have these animals in my possession, it is my responsibility. My responsibility means that they come before me, and my tsar is indeed put aside. Exactly, that's exactly the point. It's a tremendous chiddush, but that's how it goes. If you want to slaughter the animal, then you don't say tsar bali chaim.
That's right.
That's the purpose. But if you're going to have the animals in your possession, you're going to keep them alive, which means you're going to feed them, you're going to care for them, as long as they're alive and they're serving you, part of that responsibility means arrange your schedule so they don't have tsar and you don't have tsar.
Instead of feeding them for lunch, that's all.
Right. feed yourself for lunch. That's what it says. So yeah, we have a big machlek yourself place. We have halach in this week's parasha of tsar bali chaim. Maram Ramberg says that it's a deraisa. The Shvus Yaakov says that it is an asmacht, it's a midrabanan. Shulchan Aruch presents it as an iser. Doesn't say it's deraisa, but he presents it as a halacha. At kedei kach, it says that you're allowed to be mafsik between hamaitzi and the te'ima to feed the animals. Obviously, we're not following the Rambam, because the Rambam says that it's a midas chasidus. He doesn't call the halacha period. He only quotes it in the Derech Agav when it comes to dealing with avodim. He says, be good to your slaves, feed them first. And also, by the way, feed your animals first as well. And this is not limited only to animals that are mechotzeh that work for you, that you need for your parnasa, that plow your field and take you in the carriage. They take you to shul. Even recreation, even entertainment, even an aquarium, you have fish, even they are included because there's a din in tsar balei chayim. Okay, now, what about, now this is the big, I always wondered about this, he has all these chidush, what about the yayves, it's very, very machmir. Let's say you're on vacation. This is a tremendous chumr. You're in Eretz Yisrael, you're sitting in the Waldorf, you're having a dinner in the Waldorf in Eretz Yisrael, and as you make the bracha, you're about to put the food and the steak into your mouth. Wait a minute. I forgot to feed the fish back in America in Flatbush. I forgot to feed my fish. What's going to do with my fish? My fish, by the time we come back, they're going to be dead when I come back. I would say, listen. So they'll be dead. No, you can't solve all the world's problems. He made a mistake. Fish are fish. Who cares, right? Fish are fish. The Yaivet says, even if you're not home, can you imagine Shachidish? You're not home. You're far away. You're mechuyif to send a shaliach to feed your animals, even if you're not present. One could argue the only time you chayef to feed your animals first, before you, is if we're in the same room. You sit at the dining room table, right? And we have over here the dog, and we have the cat, we have the monkey, the kangaroo, and the lion. We're sitting around the table, right? I read that someone sent a meme? Is that what they call those things? Cartoon, a meme? The Parshas Noach. They show the balabos sitting at the table, and they show around the table all these animals sitting around. And the caption was, it was a singles event in the Teva. Tuba of in the Teva, for all the single animals trying to be mashach in the Teva. Even if you're not home, the Yavit says you have an obligation to feed your animals. Ad kedei kach. And by the way, one thing is clear, is you don't have to drinking. When it comes to drinking, you come first. How do you know that from? Shaduchim.
Eliezer.
Shasei Adoni, you, my master, you drink first. V'gam ligmalecha ashker. And then I will give to your animals. So when it comes to thirst, this chazal learned thirst, this is really what you were saying. Is that drinking is that's torture. Dehydration, the tsar of dehydration for a human being is significantly greater than the tsar of dehydration for an animal. And thus a human being comes first for drinking than an animal. Only for eating does an animal have more tsar. But when it comes to drinking, a human being comes first. Okay, one more last thing. This is a very important halacha, and we'll start. One more thing is, when you make a bracha on food and drink, should you make the bracha sitting or standing, or even eating? People make a very big mistake. There's one thing. When it comes to drinking, now, this is a little bit complicated. We're really out of time, but very quickly. When it comes to eating, me'ikar hadin, the Gemara only says, a talmid chacham will only eat when he's sitting down. The Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim, when they eat food, they don't eat walking around. They eat when they sit. So everyone will say,
why?
It's min hanimus. It's dignified. It's not dignified to eat like an animal, to walk around and eat walking. Like eating in, the Gemara says, eating in the street is like a dog. If you eat it in the street, you're behaving like a dog. What about, I'm not in the street, I'm indoors. I like to walk around when I eat. I like to spread the crumbs.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim don't stand when they eat. Talmidei Chachamim, they sit when they eat. So most of us will say, I'm not a Talmud Chacham. You got the wrong guy. No one today can say they're a Talmud Chacham. Who today would have the chutzpah? Even the big Rosh Yeshiva wouldn't say today they're in the league of being called what it really means, a Talmud Chacham. Who could say about themselves, say, you know the whole Nach inside out? You know Chumash Rashi? Do you know the whole parasha? Can I test you now on Chumash Rashi on this week's parasha? Okay, if you can't answer you can ace Chumash Rashi on the parasha Sashavua, don't tell me you're Talmud Chacham. Okay? How many Rosh Yeshivas today, we sit them down, we're going to test them on Chumash Rashi on parasha Shavua, we'll know it. Parasha Shavua. Not talk about the whole Chamish Chum Shatara, not talk about knowing Tanakh on their fingertips, not talk about knowing Shas inside out, and knowing Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. We're not even up to all the Rambams and the Rav Chaims and the Zohars. Okay, who today is going to have the chutzpah to say about themselves they're a Talmud Chacham? I don't think anyone today is in that league can say about themselves they're a Talmud Chacham. And now, So they have big deal, right? I'm not Talmud Chacham. So therefore, what's the big deal? Let me go walk around and eat. Who cares? Chazal say, there are certain inyanim where you should make, it's not mechze ki yohoira to make believe you're a Talmud. You should strive. This is the classic example. Eating. When it comes to the rules of eating, there's no mechze ki yohoira to make believe you're a Talmud Chacham. Adrab. Every person should make himself into a Talmud Chacham when it comes to eat. And therefore, a person, if he can, should train himself never to put anything in his mouth when he's standing. Never. Now, this is no Yehalacha L'maaseh, so people make a terrible mistake. When you make Kiddush Friday night, there's no one that disagrees with this. You're not going to find anybody. When you make Kiddush Friday night, many people make it standing. Okay, I make it. Many people make everyone Havdalah. They didn't even hug him. Some stand, some sit, but many people make Kiddush Havdalah standing. After you make Kiddush standing, if you do make it standing, you're not supposed to drink the wine standing. You're supposed to pour, you're supposed to make the bracha, sit down and drink. Many people don't do that. Many people, people who make Kiddush standing, they pour, and they give everyone drinks standing. That's not right. It says Beferish in the Mishnah Berurah. It says Shulchan Aruch. It says by Havdalah, and by extension to everything. It may be that your custom is to make Kiddush and Havdalah standing, but you're supposed to sit when you drink the wine. Now there is one exception, which is really, really problematic. And it goes to show that we don't do things the way they really were meant to be done. A wedding. Did you ever your life see under the chuppah, the Mesader Kiddushin, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Baruch Hu Hagafen, and then they make the Shev Brachas, and they give the Chosn Kala? Did you ever your life see the Chosn Kala sit down to be Toyim from the Yayin under the chuppah? Never. Did you ever see by a bris milah when they make the bracha at the end, if someone said that taka is they do sometimes, to sit down to drink from the koyshal bracha? Almost never. What? No, not even them. But the truth is, it's a question. It goes because, you know, we get married standing. That's not so poshut. Really, it used to be in the olden days, they got married sitting. The chos and kala sat next to each other, and the chos and gave, why do you have to stand? Why are you standing? What? Your marriage is on the run? Why? You should be sitting down. A get, Rachmana Litzlan, Layalenu, a get is done sitting. So why is marriage any different? Everything by marriage and get is a parallel. The marriage also, it was done. It seemed that it was done in years ago. That's how it was done. For some reason we do it.
And by Pinyan Ben, you're supposed to sit also.
Oh, so that's a machlokes, a different minhagim, right. They're different minhagim. Some say you should sit, some say you should stand. Different minhagim from Pinyan Ben. But the drinking of the wine, it may be, so you're telling me the bracha has to be made standing. Okay, so the Mesader Kiddushin stands. Birchas HaShevach is made standing. But the drinking should be done sitting. No, we don't do this. And the answer is, te'ima ba'alma, you can stand. If you're only having a small taste of yayin, you can stand. It's not the end of the world. But be'etzem, the eating. Now here's the dilemma. Many poskim say, the baracha has to follow the ikar hamitzvah. When it comes to birchas hamitzvahs, lulav and esroik, you shake it when you're standing. When you blow the shofar, you stand. When you do a mitzvah standing, you make the bracha standing. When you do a mitzvah sitting, leishev basoka. You sit. When you eat matzah, you sit. When the bracha is done sitting, so the bracha is done sitting. Therefore, it's pashut that the bracha should also be done sitting. Since me'ikar hadin, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to eat when you are sitting, when you make a bracha on food, the bracha should be made sitting, not standing. All right. We'll leave it with that. Amir Shem, tomorrow we'll do something else.
Rabbi, earlier today you were talking about the custom of saying Mishmar David.
Yes.
Before eating bread.